All right, the book of Jude. Now, on Sunday nights, I think people are a little more in-depth in Bible knowledge, and I think you can take a little more. Now, this morning, I preached out of my heart, and we ought to weep, we ought to cry, and that's what keeps us right with God, is tears. It keeps us right with God. But now, tonight, I want to show you something I think that is not being taught much anymore at all, hardly any at all. And I'm sure there are a lot of churches that do it of our brand, but most churches don't even talk about this. If you'll turn to Jude, there's only one chapter, verse 4. Look at verse 4. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. They've crept in, unawares, didn't know it. Snuck in. Amen? Now, he talks about the church as a whole, not just a local congregation. There are some congregations this has never happened to, but it usually happens at least once or twice in every congregation. These men are ungodly men. It says so. Lasciviousness, loose living. Just live any old way you want to. It's okay, you're saved. That's what they teach. And then, not only that, they're deniers of the only Lord Jesus Christ. They're deniers of that. We have men now that are promoting Islam and Christianity to come together. Even some famous men. And by the way, just because you had a favorite pastor or preacher or evangelist doesn't mean his son's going to be good.
That's right.
Andy Stanley's a good example. Doesn't mean that just because his father was full of the Holy Spirit and preached the word with power and holy boldness, doesn't mean that the son's going to inherit that. God doesn't have any grandchildren. You got to be saved, and you got to be called, and God chooses who's going to do that, not Papa. Amen?
Amen.
I hope my grandsons turn out to be preachers. I want them to be fire-breathing, barn-storming, window-rattling, shingle-pulling Baptist preachers, preach the book, the blood, and the blessed hope. But I can't guarantee that. I hope they will. I pray they will be. But that's not my choice. That's God's choice. Now, these men have slipped in unawares, it said. People weren't watching for them. And by the way, you got a watchman here. I watch for them. I watch for them. And I had a preacher come up one time, a pastor, and he was, you know, talking about being a pastor. And I could tell where he was going. I said, but let me tell you something. I'm glad you're here. I hope you keep coming. But we don't need a pastor. We've got one.
That's right.
We got a pastor, and I don't need it, okay? Now, if you want to start a church somewhere, and you're right, we'll help you. We'll go out there like they did us. You know, we'll rent you a place. We'll pay your rent, your light bill, and give you a little money and get you started. But watch out when people slip in like that.
Right.
And these men came in unawares. People didn't know they were there until it was too late. You say, well, Pastor, what do these people look like? Well, turn, if you will, to 2 Peter chapter 2. Look at verse 10. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 10. Now, I'm not against anybody. I'm for everybody. But I'm also for going into things with my eyes wide open. Amen? And I don't want to stumble through the Christian life. And I don't want to stumble through pastoring. I don't want to stumble through being a good father, a good husband, and all these things. I want to know what's going on. Amen? So I want to know how to recognize these things. We got a big problem with pedophiles and things like that in churches nowadays. I want to know how to recognize them. Amen? I was in a church, well, the church I got ordained in. We had bus ministry. We had a lot of young teenage boys coming. And a man slipped in who had went to Bob Jones University, had a wonderful wife, had a wonderful family. And it turned out that he was a pedophile. He was taking these teenage boys off and doing ungodly things with them. And he ended up in jail for it. we were very open as a church. We said, when the police came, we said, look, just don't put our church's name in there. We'll answer any question you got. And we answered all the questions, and our church was not included because he was not the church. He was one of these that slipped in unawares. Amen? We need to be aware. We need to watch and be aware. Amen? So tonight I want to show you some things. Chapter 2 of 2 Peter. Look at verse 10. I want you to see their character. But chiefly them that walk after the lust in the flesh of uncleanness and despise government, presumptuous are they, self-willed, they are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. Whereas angels, which are greater in power and might, might bring not railing accusation against them before the Lord. But these, as natural brute beasts made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption, and they'll receive their reward, he said. Now, the character of these people, these false teachers, these false prophets, they're sneaky, they're underhanded, they're back room working type of people, you know. This church is 11 years old, and we've had people come in, and boy, they want to do everything. This is the greatest thing since tater chips, you know. And I love this place, and I love these people. And then while they're saying all that, they're in the back room somewhere talking bad about somebody or talking bad about the church or what they would do if they were in charge, you know. And what they're doing, they're trying to work up a following. They're trying to get people to like them and follow them. And I've got news for you. If they had their way, the church wouldn't even be here because they would destroy it. They're like brute beasts. They don't know what they're doing. They just want to be somebody. And their character is always questionable. Now, as far as a pastor, a deacon, or a leader in the church, the character ought to be unquestionable. Right. Or to have a good report. Right. People ought to think highly of them. But even church members, we have to watch out because people will join your church who don't even know what it believes. We've had people come in here and on day one walk the aisle crying and weeping and say, this is the place I ought to be. I'm joining up. And we never see them again. I'm serious. Join the church, see them one time and weep and holler and cry and never see them again. And sometimes I wonder, they don't even leave a forwarding address. And sometimes I wonder, Lord, why that happened? And then I think, maybe God made that happen. Maybe they were of questionable character, and we don't know. We don't know a whole lot. Employers will call me and they'll say, what do you think about Billy Burgess? I knew you were going to do that. He has put in an application, he submitted a resume, and he put you down for a reference. Well, in his case, I could tell him something. But on most people, when they call, this is what I tell them. I say, look, you're talking to the wrong man. I am the pastor. Every time I see them, they are dressed the best. Every time I see them, they are behaving the best. Every time I hear them, they are talking their best. I don't know him and how he'll work for you. You're asking the wrong man. I won't give you a reference for him to work. Now, you might think that's bad, but you don't know all those years I did give good references and it turned out to be sorry, low-down dogs that didn't stay there a week or two, and then I'm the one that looked bad because I referred them to that job. And it's the same way in church. We know what we know about each other, and the longer we're together and worship together, fellowship together, work together, we know each other better. Amen? But sometimes people will sneak in unawares, and sometimes, have you ever noticed, Brother Rick, that some people are just a little too much at first? Just a little too much at first. There's a fellow come here one time, and you'd know his name if I called him. Pastor, I'm a preacher. I just want to be a help to you. I said, glory to God. Yeah, we were just getting going. I need all the help I could get. Amen, do it. And he wanted to run errands, and he wanted to go see people, and he wanted to go pay bills, and he wanted to do this and do that. And one Sunday I asked him, I said, I'm going to be out Wednesday. I'll be out of town. Will you preach? He said, oh, no, I don't preach. I said, I thought you were a preacher. He said, I am. I'm ordained, but I don't preach. I just help. Well, it turned out he was doing a lot of helping in the background with his mouth, you know, with his tongue. He was talking bad and trying to get a following and things like that. So if you don't watch out, people will creep in to your local church unaware. Now, thank God, Jerry, for every visitor. Thank God. Amen. And every week we usually have a visitor, and praise God for them. Amen. And usually, if you're one of these people with bad character, you won't last long around here because you'll get offended by the preaching or something. It won't take long to get offended around here if you've got bad character. Amen. And so their character is not good. And they speak evil about things they don't even understand. And they're going to end up perishing in their own corruption. Now, that doesn't sound like a child of God, does it? No, it does. No, we're new creatures. We're born again. We're sanctified. We're set apart. And our lives have been changed. But then I want you to notice their claims, if you will. Look at verse 18 there in 2 Peter. Verse 18, for when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lust of the flesh. Ooh, that sounds like a lot of preachers on television, doesn't it? Through much wantonness, those that were clean escaped from them who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought into bondage. For if after they have escaped the pollution of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they had known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it has happened unto them, according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. Now they have a lot of claims, but their claims are not true, because they're claiming righteousness while they're living in unrighteousness. They're claiming holiness while they're living in unholiness. And sooner or later, those things that they came out of, they're going to go right back down into them as a dog. You ever seen a dog eat its own vomit? Nasty, filthy thing to do. But they do that, and that's the example he used. They're nasty and they're filthy people, and they've not been born again. They've not been regenerated. And just like the hog in the slop, they're going to go right back down to the pig pen, because that's what they are. Amen? Now, I know you ain't going to hear this preaching on TV because it won't raise much money. Amen? You can't build a crystal cathedral talking like this. But it's the truth. These people who bring in heresy and errors, they're ungodly, they live lasciviously, they're deniers of the one and only Lord Jesus Christ, they have questionable character, their claims are one thing, and their actuality, the way they are, is wholly something else. Y'all still with me? Amen. You ain't mad at me, are you? Okay, I hadn't talked about your favorite TV preacher yet. I'll get there. Hang on. Amen. But truly, they claim, it says, for verse 20, 19, while they promise them liberty. They'll come in and promise you, boy, your old pastor, these deacons, this church, they're holding you back. They're legalist. They're holding you. They're binding you. And you can't live in liberty. And while they're promising liberty, they're putting you back in bondage. You listening?
Yes.
Let me tell you something about that word legalist. It means that you can get saved by works. Legalists, you keep the law of God, the law of Moses. And then when people that claim to be Christians, when they holler legalists, which they do of people like us a lot, what they mean is that you believe you got to be saved, but you can only stay saved by doing this or looking like this or acting like this or whatever, these works. But we don't believe that. We believe in saved by grace through faith, that not of yourselves. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. So we're not legalists. But we do believe in building walls. Amen? How many of y'all got a fence around your house? Not many of you. If you got a garden, you probably need one. That's why he got one. Walls doesn't just keep us in, it keeps other things out. So we do build walls. I have three daughters. When they were growing up, I built a lot of walls. I said, you're not hanging around with that crowd. You're not dating that boy. Tell him I got a gun. I'm not afraid to use it. Suzanne or Becky one time came to me and said, Daddy, Suzanne said, Daddy, we can't get a date because of you. I said, why is that? She said, they're afraid of you. I said, amen. I want them to be afraid of me. And I build a wall around my girls to protect them. Amen. And the devil still gets in sometimes. We're not legalists. We don't build these walls to be saved. We build them because we are saved and we want to separate ourselves and come out from among them. And some guy or some gal comes in here with their hip and mod ways and cool ideas. And the first thing they'll say is that your pastor's a legalist. Or your Sunday school's a legalist. Or your church is legalistic. You ever heard that? I'm sure you got friends that's probably told you that. Because we're not of the free and easy crowd. Amen?
Yes.
Amen. Now, so they come in and they've got claims. Yeah? Yeah. We believe in the same Jesus. They don't. They believe in another Jesus. And we're going to set you free. We're going to get you out of this dead legalism. Well, I don't know about you, but this morning in this church didn't feel real dead to me. And I didn't hear any rules being quoted, and I didn't hear any walls being built. Amen? The Spirit of God has set you free. Amen? Amen. Now that crowd comes around, and they've got new and improved. They've got instant Christianity, instant sanctification, instant glorification. How many of you drank coffee? Raise your hand. Some of you drank a lot of coffee. How many of you like instant coffee? Two out of all those. Maybe three. Out of all those like instant coffee. A real coffee drinker don't drink much instant coffee. My mama used to fix it when I was a little boy. But instant coffee. How many of you drink Pepsi Colas? How many of you like Diet Pepsi instead? Now you raise your hand on the first one. And the reason is you don't drink real Pepsi Cola. You drink Diet Pepsi Cola. But what I'm saying is this: there are no shortcuts, there are no replacements, there is no this instead of that. It's thus saith the Lord, or it's not at all. Come on, help me. And these people crept in, and they brought in heresy, and they brought in unbelief. And then it'll evolve into liberalism. And when liberalism never started a church. It never started a college. It never built a hospital. It never built a government. Liberalism comes in and takes something over when it's dying to continue draining the life out of it. And by the time they get through with it, it'll be destroyed. Amen. Liberalism destroyed. Liberalism never founded a church. You never found a bunch of people that loved Jesus so much they wanted to live for him, but they were liberal in their thinking, build a New Testament church. They only take churches that fundamentalists and conservatives started, and they are weakening, and they creep in unawares, and they get in places of authority, and they end up destroying that church. Or that university, or that college. Look at our Christian university has been taken over by these people. Do you think the godly people that started those Christian universities such as Harvard and Yale? Do you think that those people would look at those universities today and say, I'm proud of that thing right there? No, sir. They look at it and they say, that's a dead mess. Looks like a bunch of hogs wallowing in the pig pen down there. Amen? And so we have to be careful. We've got to be real careful. Now, I want you to turn to Ephesians chapter 5 real quick. Ephesians chapter 5. I'm talking about false teachers. There in Jude, he talks about false teachers. Now, what is a false teacher? A false teacher is somebody who does not teach the truth. They teach falsehood. Therefore, if the truth is the Word of God, would you say amen on that?
Amen.
That's the written truth. Jesus is the living truth. That's the written truth. And it's infallible and inerrant. And if God wrote a book, can He keep a book?
Yes, He can.
If He can create the universe and keep it, surely He can write a little old book and keep it pure and holy. Amen? You don't have to be a scientist or a linguistic genius to understand that. Amen? And so they come in and they want to leave the truth of the Word of God and go to something else. Mormons came to my house before I knew better. I was saved in 1978, 23 years old. By the time I was 24, the Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses started knocking on my door right over here. I thought they were Christians. I didn't know. I didn't grow up in church. I didn't grow up in a Christian home. I thought everybody that named the name of Christ was a Christian. So two nice-looking young men show up at my front door. I'm 20-something years old. They're 20-something years old. They're dressed super nice, and they're carrying a big old Bible. And they said, we're from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. I heard church. And we want to talk to you for just a few minutes. I said, well, I got a church, but come on in. Sit down, and we'll talk a little bit. I said, now, this is how ignorant I was. I said, you want a cup of coffee? No. Want some tea? We got some sweet tea. No. I said, I got a Pepsi. You want Pepsi? No. It never occurred to me to offer them water. I didn't know they were legalists and thought they were working their way to heaven by not drinking caffeine. That's part of an independent fundamental Baptist preacher's diet is caffeine. Amen. I didn't know any better. And they sat there, and they got this little flip chart out, and they said, well, there used to be a church, but it's gone. It disappeared. But thank God, one day, the angel came down and talked to Joseph Smith and gave him the further revelation of the church. And now, there is the church has been revived, and it's called the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And they went on with that stuff. And by the way, I knew nothing about the Bible. I hadn't been saved long. I didn't know anything about the Bible. And it sounded real religious. They looked real religious. They were real nice. You know, that's what people say. He must be a Christian. He's real nice. He's dressed good. He must be a Christian, you know. He's got a Bible. He must be a Christian. I didn't know that down at the bottom of that King James Bible, the other half of it was the Book of Mormon. They were reading out of it too. I didn't know that. It come out of the Bible. I didn't know it was the Book of Mormon in there. Here's what they did before they left. They said, we want to help you to be enlightened. So here's what we want to do. Go get your Bible. I said, oh yeah, my wife got me a Bible. I'd never had a Bible in my life. I went and got it. I was so proud of it. He said, now lay it down there on the floor. I laid it on the floor. He said, now, we're going to take our Book of Mormon and we're going to lay it beside it. And we're going to get down there and pray, and you get down there with us, and we're going to ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to you that that is the Word of God also. Bells went off in my head. I didn't know anything about a cult. I didn't know hardly anything about church. I didn't know much about the Bible. But the Holy Spirit in my heart and in my mind said, whoa, right there. Whoa, right there. Not having one verse, I said this. I said, I can't do that. Well, why not? I said, I'm afraid to do that.
Amen.
I said, that's the book I got saved out of. That's the book that changed my life. I'm afraid to pray what you're saying for me to pray. And they said, well, we don't have anything else to say here then. I said, well, okay. And I didn't know you wasn't supposed to bid them Godspeed. I said, well, good luck as you go down there trying to get people to go to church. I didn't know, but the Holy Spirit reminded me, these are people trying to creep in unawares. You don't know any better, the devil sent them. Baptists are too lazy to go to people's house. So therefore, the devil sent some Mormons. It wasn't 2 weeks later. Nice couple, Sunday dress, knock on my door during the week. And they said, did you know the world's coming to an end? I said, amen. That's what got me saved. I said, I got so worried about it, so convicted about it. I read the book on the rapture. I couldn't sleep. I couldn't eat. I had bad dreams. Finally, the preacher come by and he witnessed to me. And then I went to church 2 or 3 times. I got saved because I was worried about burning up and going to hell. I got saved. They don't believe in hell. They don't believe in burning up. And can we come in and share a little bit with you? I said, I wish you would. And boy, they came in there, they had all the prophetic scriptures on the end of the world, you know, the end of time and all these things. And then they said, now we got to tell you about our leader, Mr. Charles Taz Russell. God had revealed to him a new revelation. We want to tell you about it. And I thought, this sounds a whole lot like Joseph Smith. I didn't have one Bible verse. I said, no, that's all right. I got all I need right now.
That's right. Never thirst again.
Amen. Amen. Never thirst again. And they left mad at me. They left mad at me. Now they come to my door and they say, we're from this or that, you know. And I say, you don't want to talk to me. Yes, we do. We love you. I say, I don't know about that. And you don't want to talk to me. I'll make you mad. Oh, you can't make us mad. Because they're working their way to heaven. They think. I said, all right, you asked for it. I believe you belong to a cult. I know Joseph Smith started it, or either Charles Taz Russell, and it shocked someone I know that name, by the way, Charles Taz Russell, or Judge Rutherford. And I'll throw those names out. And I said, I'll tell you something else, too. I don't believe what you're teaching. I know if I die right now, I'm going to heaven. I don't have a doubt in my mind if I die today or tomorrow or next year, 100 years from now. I'm going to heaven. There's no. I've got the Word of God on it.
Amen. Praise Jesus.
And then I'll say, do you know if you die right now you're going to heaven? And they'll say, no, nobody can know that. I say, hand me your Bible. And I'll take their Bible and read 1 John 5:11-13. And I'm going to abbreviate it, but it says, this is written so you may know. I said, I know. This is written so you may know that you have eternal life. I said, I got it. And it goes on to say, he that has the Son has life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. And I said, you can take John 1:12 to go with that. But as many as received him, to them gave he the power, that means the right, to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And I said, March 5th, 1978, I believed on his name. And that gives me a right now to be called a son of God. He adopted me and his family. And I couldn't go to hell if I wanted to. And if I went to hell, they'd have to air condition it. Ah! It's like I throw boiling water on them or something. And they'll leave mad every time. But see, if you don't watch out. When I was a young preacher, I hadn't been preaching long. I was at Grace Baptist Church. She went there as a little girl. That's how long ago that was. Grace Baptist Church. She rode the bus. And the pastor died. He passed away. Brother Jimmy Moore, wonderful man. Graduate of Hiles Anderson College. Wonderful man. Soul winner. Loved Jesus. Loved people. But hard preacher. Boy, he preached. And after he passed away, the church just goes all to pieces. I'm young. They don't want me. I've been working with the kids. I'm in my mid-20s by then. But I'm preaching for them. And one day I stand up there to preach, and I look back there. There's two handsome young men sitting right back there in a black and white suit. And immediate, the Holy Spirit said, wolves. Wolves. And I preached my heart out. When I got through, I went right to them. They said, Pastor, they introduced themselves. They said, we're here to help you. I said, what do you want to do to help me? And they said, we want to help you. The church is struggling. The pastor's dead. And we want to help your church recover from this. We're from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. I said, you're a Mormon. Well, we don't call us Mormons. Y'all call us Mormons. I said, you want to come in here and destroy these little sheep because they're weak. I said, get out of here. Get out of here. You don't need to be in here. Amen? So, you got to watch out. They'll slip in. Now, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 11. Now that we got Mrs. Edenhofer back, we can really preach. Amen? And then verse 11, he says, and have no fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Now, here's the age we're in. I'm through. We're in the age where nobody wants to say anything. No one wants to offend anyone. Well, I've got news for you. The gospel offends people. The cross offends people. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ offends people. Salvation by grace through faith and His finished work alone offends people. And they'll call you mean, and they'll call you legalistic, and they'll call you old school. Well, they got all kinds of names. Holier than thou, holy roller, all kinds of things they'll call you. But my Bible says when you recognize these people, you reprove them. You say, now look here, I love you, I'm glad you're coming to my church, but you can't talk like that down here. You're wrong, you know you're wrong, and we're not having that. Come on, don't get quiet on me now. Amen. You don't know how hard it is to be a pastor nowadays and try to keep the wolves out of a little flock. Now, they slip in those big flocks, they're not noticed so much, but to come in a little one, I can pretty well spot them. Amen. Sometimes my wife, she'll tell me some Jezebel will come slipping in. My wife say, keep an eye on that one. I got my eye on that one. I say, what? I didn't even see it, but she'll see it. Amen? And look, we've got to be not caught unawares. Our church is growing full every Sunday morning. I know it looks kind of scarce tonight, but it's holiday and people are sick and things, but it's growing. Now, wolves like to attack when it gets big because they can slip in. We've got to watch it. We really do. Why? Because these people will discourage holiness. They'll discourage holy living. I go to the bookstore, and they're closing that bookstore in town now, Shepherd's Fold. But I go in there sometimes, and I'll see men that look like they slept on the street, and their hair's all disheveled, and they got holes in their blue jeans, and they got some old ragged shirt on, and And I think, that guy looks like a homeless guy. And then he'll get up there at the counter and the clerk will say, good to see you, Reverend.
That's right.
And I think, Reverend? Ain't nothing reverend about that. Amen? And so we got to learn how to recognize, because they'll discourage holiness. They'll come in here and take this beautiful young lady that's about to graduate high school. She's living a holy lifestyle, and they'll come in here and try to set her free. But it's not freedom in Christ they'll give her. It's freedom of the world. Amen? We got to be careful. Got to be careful. Amen? There's no freedom in theirs. And then they discourage adherence to the truth. And these have come through too. Well, I know the preacher says, but I don't agree with everything the pastor says, you know. And here's what I think. Well, we don't care what you think. What does the Bible say?
Yes.
What did the Bible... Rudy had one who would tell him stuff all the time like that, would try to discourage him. And finally, Rudy told him, said, you ain't happy here. Why don't you go over to that other church you keep talking about? Amen. Because they will discourage us from sticking to the truth. Well, you got to give a little if you have young people. I got saved in a church that didn't have smoke and flashing lights, and they didn't give out earplugs when you went in. Amen. Amen. Well, you got to have programs. We've got one. Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Now, it's not programs or music that adhere to the truth. It's the word of God that adheres to the truth. I know I'm a dinosaur. I know you go all over this town. And I know when they find out where you go to church, they say, oh, you go over at that King James Version church. Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. You bunch of ignorant hay seeds over there. Y'all still believe in the old Bible. You believe in the old ways, you know. You're ignorant. You're behind the times. You're a bunch of dinosaurs. Amen. Well, the truth don't change. Amen.
Yes.
He said, I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever, and I change not. Why do you want to mess with it? The only reason you'd want to change the truth of God's Word is if it offended you or rubbed you the wrong way, then you'd want to change it so it'd make you feel better. And we live in the age of that feel better, amen? Or it will offend you. A fellow told me one time, said, Pastor, I would bring my friends to church, but I'm afraid you'll offend them. I said, I will. Because I'm going to preach out of the right book, and I'm going to preach the truth, and that always offends people. I get offended at it. Amen. Amen. They discourage soul winning. They discourage soul winning. You see, these people that creep in unawares, and they want to teach false doctrine, here's what it evolves into. Well, I'm all right, and you're all right. And everybody's all right. God loves everybody. And you hadn't killed anybody, and you hadn't raped anybody, so you must be a child of God. And they'll discourage leading people to Christ. They'll do it. Because they'll tell you this, you're going to run them away. Well, Brother Rick, where are you going to run them to? They're already going to hell. They're already on the road to destruction. They're already brokenhearted and beat down. If they're not, they're going to be. Where are you going to run them to? There's no hell number two. There's no destruction number two. Either saved or they're not. And if we'll try to win them to the Lord and they get offended, that's a good sign the first time you witness to somebody when they get offended. They're listening.
That's a good point.
Yeah. But then you keep loving, you keep witnessing, you keep quoting Scripture, and pretty soon the Holy Spirit of God will do the work, and you can just shut up and let Him work. But people who don't believe the truth and don't adhere to the truth, and they're living lasciviousness in their lives, and they are teaching false doctrine, they don't believe in winning people to Christ, because that would say that this is right and they're wrong, because there is such a thing as a holy God, and there is such a thing as punishment for sin, and there is such a thing as Christian living, and there is such a thing as holiness and righteousness, and it will show them for what they are if you teach that and get people saved. There's a big building. I won't say big church. There's a big building right over here at the airport. Baptist Church. They belong to what's called a Cooperative Baptist, which is a part of the Southern Baptist Convention. Super liberal. When they started that church, when they first started that church, it was a church plant out of Oakland Baptist Church. Not Oakdale, but Oakland, over here on Oakland Avenue. That big one where one of their former pastors died of AIDS. They got voted out of the local association for their stand for homosexuality and women preachers. They voted them out. I was standing in line after church one day somewhere to eat, and there was a group of them standing there, and they were laughing and making fun of people that believed the Bible to be the inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. And I told one of them, I said, look here, I'm one of those people. And he laughed. He said, well, we don't believe that at our church. And I thought, you don't have a church. You have a social club. I've never, now that was 15 years ago. I've never met a person that said they accepted Christ or was drawn closer to God or became a better Christian by going to that church. They have a good time. Have a lot of fellowship. But I've never heard of one being saved there or becoming a better Christian there. You see, false doctrine is not always ignorant. It doesn't always look ignorant. Matter of fact, false doctrine is usually pretty educated and classy looking. And people make fun of the old mountain preacher because he barely can read and write, but he's keeping people out of hell. He's winning people to Christ. He's witnessing to people. And they make fun of him, and they'll go over here on the other side of town, some high, big-dollar pastor, preacher, whatever he calls himself. He's never led a soul to Christ personally. You watch him. He'll preach against it. And then it'll go downhill from there. I wouldn't give you a plug nickel for a pastor that's never personally sat down with somebody eyeball to eyeball and led them to a saving knowledge in the Lord Jesus Christ. My first pastor came to my house 5 times trying to get me to get saved. You know what? After I got saved, I thanked God for it. I thanked God for it. And he was known for that. He'd never been to college. I think he got a GED. But he loved Jesus. And he loved sinners. And he didn't. But listen to this. They crept in unawares after he had a stroke and destroyed that church. They went from soul winning to higher thinking and destroyed that church. Now there's 100 people sitting over there in a church that'll sit, 700 people? 700 or 800 people. When that man was alive and leading people to Christ and witnessing and soul winning, his church was packed every service. Packed. And then after he gets sick and he can't help it no more, then they creep in unawares. And I know y'all think I'm mean sometimes, but I'm the watchman at this gate. And if they come in and you want them in, that's fine. I'll just go somewhere else. But I'm not letting the wolf in. Our children are too important. Our families are too important. They crept in unawares. Would you make me a promise tonight? Now this is a lot of people's out, I know, but this is the backbone, you know, a lot of you are the church. Would you make God a promise tonight that as long as you live, you'll keep your eyes open and not let them creep in unawares? There's churches now, been existing for 100 years or more, have been destroyed because that first generation died off and the second one went to sleep. We'll never be the biggest church in town, I know that. But we can keep people out of hell. We can stay true to the book. We can love one another and hate evil. Amen? Amen. We can protect one another. Amen? Amen? Let's do it. I dare you. If we'll get together, and by the way, we're doing a pretty good job now. There's a few slip in every once in a while. I'm not talking about visitors. I'm talking about people that come in too on purpose. And it takes a while, but sooner or later, they'll get mad at me and leave. But that's okay. Amen? Now, we got visitors every Sunday, and I'm glad to come. Jerry, glad to have you. God bless you, man. We had that folks today. I said, how'd you? We heard you on the internet, and I said, you come anyway? That little old lady with that neck brace on walked out the door today like this, and she shook me, and she said, Pastor, I want to tell you, I loved it. There needs to be more preaching like that all over this country, Pastor. Lives in Nebraska? Does God even know where Nebraska is? We got that internet site. And if you'll look down there at the bottom, it's got a counter. It's got a little counter. It says counter. Click on it. It'll show you the last 100 people where they're from that looked at that site. And if you look at it, you'll see some of them look over and over and over and over and over. That means they're listening to it because there's nothing to read on there. You read it one time, you read it. But those recorded sermons, they're listening to it over and over and over and over and over. And believe it or not, Brother Jeffrey, there's a lot of people out there just like me and you, starving to death. The wolves have destroyed their churches. I'm talking about all over the place, man. You wouldn't click on it sometimes. All over the place. They're starving. Why don't we be that lighthouse? Yes. Let's keep the light on. Let's blow the trumpet. Let's sound aloud. Let's spare not. Amen? Amen. Let's win people to Christ. In the next few weeks, I'm going to be hitting hard and heavy on winning people to Christ. I've made up my mind. Amen. Father, I don't know everybody's heart in here, but I know mine.